Right, we continue in our study with Jonathan Edwards. We're looking at chapter 7, the passion of discipline. Okay, about halfway down that first paragraph. His youthful ambition was to be the most complete Christian of his age. He accepted the strenuous effort involved and dedicated every thought, every action to the promotion of that goal. His sole ambition was to realize his greatest potential and maximum usefulness for the glory of God. Okay, so this is effort and zeal that flows from the foundation of God's gracious salvation that He has got. It's always good to realize, we talk about the grace of God and how secure we are in Him purely by God's mercy. The balance to that is that the Christian life is also a struggle, it's a fight, it's a battle, and it requires discipline and effort if we're going to be effective for our God. Okay, so Jonathan Edwards was, beginning of the second paragraph, willing to pay any price necessary in this endeavor, and he set out to lose all sense of personal selfhood. So as far as knowing that he didn't live for himself, he didn't exist for his own goals and ambitions, he lived and existed for God. So Edwards believed complacency was a great impediment to the Christian life. The last sentence in that paragraph. He never abandoned his belief in the value of strict spiritual disciplines. Refusing to live in an unstructured manner, he purposed to know and serve God through a highly regimented life. Now, regimented can have a negative connotation, but I think he's talking there about structure that is carefully laid out. Middle of the paragraph under the wholehearted devotion. It says, for Edwards, true living necessitated personal discipline in every area of the Christian life. Okay, and he very carefully showed what that looks like. So his resolution 6 at the top of page 107, he resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Okay, it's very much like Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do with your might. But it takes discipline to live in that way, to do with your might whatever your hand finds to do. It's discipline, it's a habit, it's training yourself to do that, because you can easily develop slack habits where, well, I just work with my might at certain times. With certain things I will work with my might, but in others I won't. Halfway down the paragraph, of the first paragraph under the resolution, he would pour all his energies into every endeavor as long as he lived. And he would entirely engage in all that he undertook for Christ. And that last sentence in that paragraph, wherever he was, he would be all there. I like that. Wherever he was, he'd be all there. So whenever he committed himself to something, that's his whole being was put into it. Third line down in the next paragraph, he set himself the goal of living at a level of closeness to God and fullness of spirituality that no other Christian was achieving. Now, I think this is a misunderstanding of what Edwards, that resolution was. I don't think Edwards believed this, that he was going to set the standard that no other Christian was achieving. It sounds very arrogant. The resolution, and this quote that then follows from January the 14th, which is Edwards' statement and what he was basing this on, and I think this is where the author kind of gets this idea that Edwards was trying to act in a way of spirituality that no other Christian was achieving. But Edwards set up like a hypothetical. Supposing there was never but one complete Christian in all respects. Okay, so never one complete Christian at a time in the world. Okay, that kind of sentence is broken up there, if you'll see. So if there was only one complete Christian at one time in the world, then I resolved to act just as I would do if I strove with all my might to be that one. So that's kind of the goal. If there was only one, I'd like to be it. And so I'm going to act all the time in a way that I would need to act if I was going to be that. So I don't think he felt that there were no other real Christians. He wasn't having a prophetic experience here as Elijah had when he thought he was the only righteous man left. Okay, then the next paragraph. This is not to suggest that Edwards always lived with all his might. Sometimes he found himself negligent in his spiritual disciplines. If he were more steadfastly committed, he believed he could do twice as much than he was doing. And over the page of that entry of February the 23rd, I find myself miserably negligent and that I might do twice the business that I do if I was set upon it, if I gave myself to it. Let's skip out a sentence. I have been indulging a horrid laziness a good while and did not know it. I can do 7 times as much in the same time now as I can at other times. Not because my faculties are in better tune, but because of the fire of diligence that I now feel burning within me. So he went into it with a greater effort and a greater zeal and a greater determination, and he found he was much more productive than the kind of approach he was doing up until that time. And so the paragraph after that quote, seeing the Christian life as a race, Edwards vowed to press on to finish. He would not grow complacent, but strive for the prize and run the race to win, as he referring to Paul there. To that end, he further resolved to discipline his body, as Paul talks about in Corinthians 9. The athlete is temperate in all things. And so this is kind of the idea that Edwards comes in. So he's got physical regimentation. So the second sentence, Edwards believed restraint and balance should mark every area of his physical life, including his diet, his sleep, and his physical exercise. So he resolved in Resolution 20 on page 109 to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking. Now the word temperance means moderation or restraint, and this is what he wanted to achieve in his eating and his drinking. So the sentence that begins with how he was constantly experimenting with himself, seeing how much he needed to eat out of necessity and avoiding all excesses that would dull his mind and rouse his passions. Throughout his life, observers commented about his strict eating habits and often emaciated appearance. You can take a good discipline too far and you can all become ascetic, you know, where in the sense of eating now becomes merely to exist, merely to keep your body functioning. I think you could argue that if God intended that to be how it should be, he would have just given us manna and said, look here, but the variety, the tastes, the opportunities, he gave us foods to enjoy as well. So there needs to be a balance. I think Edwards erred on the ascetic side, you know, where you kind of deny the flesh as much as possible in every way. Now there's probably in our day and age, we need to be hearing more of that. But you can abuse it as well. So you've got to find the balance in there, in your own thinking and understanding. Knowing that we will easily excuse ourselves, there is a balance. Okay, so Edwards carefully observed, kind of end of that paragraph, carefully observed the effects of the different sorts of food and selected those which best suited his constitution and rendered him more fit for mental labor. So there's some validity in that. Knowing what best assists you and helps you in what you need to do. Okay, but the next paragraph, Edwards' pursuit of temperance was not without struggle. So he said on February the 15th, I find that when eating, I cannot be convinced in the time of it that if I should eat more, I should exceed the bound of strict temperance. Though I have had the experience of 2 years, and yet as soon as I have done, in 3 minutes, I am convinced of it. Okay, so what he's saying is that while I'm eating, I don't realize I'm eating too much, but as soon as I've finished, I realize, oh man, that was too much. So he was a real man who struggled with very common things that all people struggle with. The next paragraph. Edwards also noted that he needed to experience special care to restrain himself when a meal was especially pleasing to his taste or offered a variety of dishes. He found it much harder to exercise restraint if it was a good tasting meal. And then he says, the end of that paragraph, I've eaten twice as much as at other meals. So maybe we should not have fellowship lunch anymore, because that presents great temptation to the congregation. All those different dishes. So I want you to be just maturely evaluating this, and you know, there is some stuff we can learn, but at the same time, be aware that there are extremes here in Edwards' perception, I think. If you want to correct me, I feel free to. If you think Edwards wasn't too extreme, I'm open to that as well. But in the middle of the next paragraph, he's neglecting again. He says, have been to blame this journey with respect to strict temperance in eating, drinking, and sleeping, and in suffering two small matters to give interruption to my wanted chain of religious exercise. So he found that when he was on a journey or a trip, his regular spiritual activity was disrupted, and he found problems with that. I suggest that there are different ways to manifest and commune with God. So while hearing at the one point, yeah, we do too easily give up trying to have our spiritual communion and Bible reading or whatever, while we might do that too easily, at the same time there are different ways to commune. So sometimes it's just not conducive to go through your normal routine. So I don't know how hard you want to apply that. You can be as hard as you want on yourself. Okay, the last sentence on page 110. By a sparingness in diet and eating, as much as may be what is light and easy of digestion, I shall doubtless be able to think clearer and shall gain time. First, by lengthening out my life. Secondly, shall need less time for digestion after meals. Thirdly, shall be able to study closer without wrong to my health. Fourthly, shall need less time to sleep. Fifthly, shall seldomer be troubled with the headache. So he was hoping that his diet would just make him more productive. That was his goal. And so it's a worthy goal, but once again, you need your balance and understanding of where that all comes down. In the next paragraph, third sentence. Self-control in physical life, he realized, affected self-control in his spiritual life. And both areas required self-denial. And I think there's truth in that. When we're exercising self-control, it flows into other areas of our life. It helps our resolve. It builds our determination. And so the next paragraph. Edward's limit on his food intake became borderline detrimental at times. And Edwards noticed that his discipline in eating was so strict it often caused him to become physically weak. And it's possible at that point to somehow see an added spirituality in that, which would just, you know, destroy the flesh and the spirit's going to rise up. It's almost a Platonic kind of idea. I'm not saying Edwards was Platonic, by the way. And so January the 12th, it is suggested to me that too constant a mortification and too vigorous application to religion may be prejudicial to health. But nevertheless, I will plainly feel it and experience it before I cease. On this account, it is no matter how much tired and weary I am if my health is not impaired. Okay, so he was warned, be careful, you're going to ruin your health. He says, well, until I realize my health is being ruined, I'm not going to change. Because I don't care how tired I am, as long as I'm not ruining my health, that's fine. I want to be able to work through the tiredness. So that's his reasoning. So he was a very determined man, as one of the biographers of him said. He was probably similar to the Apostle Paul in his determination and resolve. Okay, the next paragraph, the second sentence. Because of the importance to him of time alone with God, Edwards adopted the practice of rising in the pre-dawn hours. January 1728, after that. I think Christ has recommended rising early in the morning by his rising from the grave very early. That's not exegesis, by the way. Edwards usually rose at 4 or 5 in the morning in order to spend 13 hours in his study. The discipline was part of a constant heroic effort to make his life a type of Christ. So he was a very dedicated and disciplined man. And at one point in his diary, he says, I've just spent the day making a book to put all these papers in. And what he's referring to is that he didn't have a diary, like we'd just go and buy a book. He would write on scraps of paper. It was very hard for him to find paper. And then he collected up all these scraps of paper that all these important documents are being written on, and put them into this little booklet kind of thing. But he was very diligent and resourceful. And it's amazing. You think what he accomplished, the very limited resources that he had as tools and aids. At halfway down the page. In addition to watching his diet so as to maximize his mental powers, he also took heed to his need for exercise. In the winter, he would chop firewood a half hour each day, and in the summer, he would ride into the fields and walk alone in meditation. Health and strength. Spiritual disciplines. Edwards also strictly regimented himself in the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life, such as Bible study, theological reading, meditation, prayer, and singing. So resolution 28 on page 113, resolve to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Okay, so he wanted to feel it within himself that he's growing in his knowledge. About five lines down after Christian piety. The devotion with which Edwards undertook Bible reading and study yielded a profound Bible knowledge. Okay, we all know that. He studied the Bible more than all other books and more than most other divines do. That was by his brother-in-law, who said that he studied more than any other divines. The fertility of his mind was also due to hard work. It wasn't just naturally there. He was a hard worker in applying himself to the task God had given him. So, page 114. Edwards' disciplined approach to Scripture was by no means drudgery for him. To the contrary, Bible intake delighted him because it yielded the knowledge of God. And then halfway through that indented quote, I seemed often to see so much light exhibited by every sentence and such a refreshing, ravishing food communicated that I could not get along in reading. Used oftentimes to dwell long on one sentence, to see the wonders contained in it, and yet almost every sentence seemed to be full of wonders. So granted he was a young believer, but I think sometimes we do need to tell ourselves to meditate upon the depths, be expecting the depths and the riches of Scripture, that believing that it is deep and rich. So Edwards also made time to read various theological and polemical books. And for Edwards, Bible study required serious digging into the text, and these other works aided his understanding. Last paragraph on that page. Nevertheless, Edwards did not let himself be seduced into spending excessive time in books written by men to the neglect of the Word of God. Okay, so there's a balance there, and it's good to see such a profound theologian still wrestling with what other men had written. You do get some people who kind of get to the position where they kind of say, well, it's the Bible only now. You know, they might get discouraged or disgruntled with respect to the differences of opinions that men have, and they read this book and the guy says this and this book and the guy says that, and they just say, oh, okay, I'm not, men are all confused, I'm just going to read the Bible. I think you need to be selective what you read when you're reading theology and be wise, particularly when you're learning and growing, because there are a lot of strange ideas out there. But I think we should benefit greatly from what God has blessed others and opened up the minds of others, and they've put that down in writing. We should use that. So about third line on page 115, when I have not very good books, he resolves not to spend time in reading them, but in reading the Scriptures, in perusing the resolutions, in reflections, in writing on types of the Scriptures and other things, in studying the languages, and in spending more time in private duties. In the next paragraph, about four lines down, the spiritual discipline of meditation on Scripture was part of Edwards' Puritan heritage and central to his walk with God. And at the end of that paragraph, this involved thinking in a prolonged and focused way about a truth in a biblical text. It's amazing how much time we've actually got to sit sometimes and do nothing. And there's nothing wrong with sometimes just chilling. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, you go somewhere, I'm often frustrated if I go somewhere, like to the motor vehicle department for something I have to get for the car, and suddenly there's a line, and now you've got to sit in this line and wait, and I thought, I forgot to bring a book. You know, well, meditate on a passage that you've memorized, or, you know, we can spend our time productively and be diligent in doing that, or think through other issues. It doesn't mean you just have to think Scripture. You can be using that time for resolving other things, coming up with plans to do with the family, to do with employment, with your job, with how to solve a problem. But it is good to be conscious of using and exploiting the time that we do have. But meditation is good, and meditating on Scripture is very rewarding. And he would do that back on page 116. He would do that often. Sometimes Edwards found his meditation so satisfying that he even would skip a meal. Okay, that's fine if you were going to be cooking the meal. If somebody else was preparing a meal for you, then the most spiritual thing to do is go and eat that meal.
What if you were cooking the meal for someone else and then you get
to start taking? That's even worse. Because now you're neglecting your responsibility as well. In the name of spirituality, by the way. And people do that. Have all-night prayer meetings and then fall asleep at their desk at work. The next paragraph. Edwards also believed that prayer was an essential spiritual discipline. It was inconceivable that anyone could know the God he knew and not be compelled by the sweetness, love, and satisfaction found in God to pray. So he had a high emphasis on prayer, and it's something we need to constantly work on in our own lives. My understanding of what that looks like, once again, we don't want a formulaic picture of what that is, so that if you didn't fit into that formula, that now you haven't prayed and now you feel unspiritual or whatever. It's communion with God. Top of page 117. However, Edwards confided to his diary that he often struggled to maintain regular prayer. On May the 6th, I think it best commonly to come before God three times in a day, except I find a great inaptitude to that duty. Okay, so he felt he needed to have three kind of specific, I don't know what you'd call them, times of prayer where, I don't know if you would stop what you're doing and kneel down and pray or whatever, I'm not sure, but he had three distinct periods of prayer. And I'm not suggesting that that's what people have to do. All I'm emphasizing from Edwards is the importance of prayer, communing. You know, with Paul talking about pray without ceasing, there's an aspect of constant communion with God. And that is an important discipline to develop as well. And then he, on May the 19th, he said, with respect to my journey last week, I was not careful enough to watch opportunities of solemnly approaching to God three times a day. So he was very vigorous on himself. Okay, and finally, in the middle of the page, Edwards often worshipped God privately by lifting up his voice in the singing of psalms. He believed that that was a natural part of personal devotions, was singing aloud to God. I confess that's not part of my personal devotions, and maybe I need to have it, but it's not. So Edward spoke of his private, spontaneous songs to God as that which seemed natural and flowed from the sweetness of the contemplations of God. Thus Edwards pledged to praise God by singing psalms in prose and by singing forth the meditations of my heart in prose. Okay, so over the page, the end of that section, his theology led to doxology. So his theology drove him to praise and worship and adoration, and that's what it should do. True theology should drive us there, to marvel at the glory and the beauty and the holiness of God. So steadfast fervor. Edwards was often disappointed in his shortcomings in his pursuit of God's glory. In his diary, he frequently confessed to being dull, dry, and listless in his spiritual fervency. And so Resolution 61, resolved that I will not give way to that listlessness which I find unbends and relaxes my mind from being fully and fixedly set on religion, whatever excuse I may have for it. And the next part, I know what he's trying to say, but it's a little bit confusing. That what my listlessness inclines me to do is best to be done. And that's what the deception is in his mind. That's what it's saying. His listlessness inclines him to do that, convinces him that it's best to be done. He doesn't want to give in to that. But it's a bit clumsy the way he wrote it. For Edwards, listlessness was a state in which his mind was less than fully fixed on spiritual things. And to be careful is what we mean by spiritual things. Is wondering how you're going to fix your leaking roof, a spiritual thing. So, as long as you have a broad perspective. The last paragraph on that page. Despite such remarkable resolve, Edwards experienced seasons of drought. Some of his diary entries reveal these times in his life where he was just very dull and dry and dead, he felt, in his spiritual life. And I believe that's part of the course of the Christian life. That mustn't be the determiner of the reality of Christ, of what he has accomplished. Our assurance really must be based upon the truth that has been revealed, not on our emotions, our feelings, our sense of achievement, because there we're going to go through these periods and now we act according to principle. So in the way you carry out responsibilities when you're tired, I don't feel like fixing this whatever. Well, I just have to do it, because not because I feel like doing it, because I'm responsible and so I act upon it. I believe at times when you're feeling spiritually dry, we keep going about doing what we know the principles are that we do, as far as how to relate to Christ, communing with Him. Okay, the middle of the page. However, Edwards also recorded that the Holy Spirit often revived his spiritual desires. When beholding the glories of Christ, he believed the Spirit enlightened his heart with the beauty of God's holiness. He says, this day, revived by God's Spirit, affected with the sense of the excellency of holiness, felt more exercise of love to Christ than usual. In the next paragraph, but while depending on the Spirit for revival, Edwards was committed to doing all that he could to remain fervent in his love for God and Christ. And then December the 24th, he says, higher thoughts than usual of the excellency of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And then the author says, this rejuvenation was the result of Edwards declaring his ways to God and laying open his soul to him, as well as his reading of the sermons of the noted Puritan Thomas Manton and Psalm 119. So he was having spiritual input into his life, as well as just being in God's presence. So what we see here is a disciplined pursuit of holiness. Edward's tenacious sense of mission brought all areas of his life under disciplined control. No aspect of his life went unscrutinized. Eating, drinking, sleeping, exercise, scripture study, theological reading, meditation, prayer, worship, and his affections. In all of this, Edwards made careful and regular inquiry regarding his progress and necessary alterations. And then the final paragraph. Edwards stands as a positive example for all believers today. He shows us how a Christian may discipline himself for the purpose of godliness and effectiveness for the kingdom. Are there any things that you want to add to that or take away from?